Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 164, episode 4 of Dirt Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Thursday, December 17th, 2020, 34 days until January 20th. There were 4 new COVID cases in New Zealand yesterday, 0 deaths since late September. There were 12 new COVID cases in Victoria, Australia, 0 deaths in the month of December. And in the U.S., we had 201,000 new cases and a 9/11's worth of deaths.
USA.
Just want to do a quick check-in every once in a while to keep things in perspective. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Hello, Miles Gray, my old friend. It's nice to host with you again. I had a vision of us hugging because we both received the vaccine, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the bounds of science. That is courtesy of Pastor Yamaguchi Maine, and I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
OTDZ, we bring you trending topics. 10 apps per week of daily zeit. Long in the morn, short trends at night. With Miles of G and Jack O'B. Pod second rate, but still hits. It hits still. It hits. The bro coming from the Discord with that
bang, bang.
Christmas tree. Oh, Tannenbaum. Yeah, remix. Yeah. Thank you, everybody. The Discord is active, and I see some ones. I see you, and I will get to them. Worry not, because the compositions in there are next level.
And I mean, appropriate, because that song closes out the Christmas classic, the new Christmas classic, the Christmas Chronicles 2 that everybody's talking about and raving over.
I hate
What's his name? Gargamel? What's the bad name? The bad elf?
Belsnickel?
Oh, Belsnickel. Yeah, right.
Belsnickel.
Fuck, I still can't get over the character arc for Belsnickel. It makes no fucking sense, and it's an actual crime to present a story arc like that even to children. It's going to fuck up their idea of narrative structure.
My kids are still asking about Belsnickel. Like what his deal was, what happened to him, why he
he's
like
a Kiwi.
That.
He's from New Zealand.
Yeah.
But New Zealand. He's also punk.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whatever.
Punk,
whatever,
like
Belsnickel.
But sort of half-assed punk, like the degree
80s
to which I
punk.
Was punk in the 80s for like a week when I was like, I really like Guns N' Roses. I'm going to wear this.
What did you do? Well, wait, what was your version of being? Because a kid making a fashion choice is hard because you have to work with whatever's in your environment and be like,
yeah,
that's punk. And now, so what did you do to say
fairly
Jack is
tight
punk?
Black sweatpants? That was the closest I could get to what Axl Rose
black
wore.
Black jeans?
Yeah. And a jean jacket that I believe belonged to my sister.
Fuck yeah. Hell yeah. All right.
Hey, we are thrilled to be joined by the Neck Turner himself, Mr. Nick Turner!
Yes, my name is Mr. Cum. I'm the host of the show. I like to beat my dilly willy bum diddy bum. I rub my clitty witty with my finger and thumb. My name is Mr. Cum. We're gonna have so much fun at the 2020 Pornhub Awards.
Wow.
That's just a little snippet of my work on this year's Pornhub Awards.
Anna just turned on her mic to reveal that she's weeping openly.
Yeah. Sobbing all over her. You're going to ruin your computer. The warranty doesn't cover tear damage.
Nick, we need to get directly into the origin story of your new nickname. And as soon as the paperwork goes through, I'm assuming given name, Mr. Cum. How did this come about?
Look,
sir?
A lot of people are taking their name off this project. I am leaning into it. A friend of mine is writing for the awards, and they actually recorded someone else.
The awards.
Yeah, but they
which awards are those?
Which awards?
Oh, the Pornhub Awards.
Okay, yeah.
I don't. You guys, they're the most important.
Right.
Yeah, it goes yeah. Pornhub, Oscars.
Right.
Yeah, Jack. He's AVNs. Mr. Cum.
That's why.
What else?
The P-Got. Yeah, the P-Got.
Yeah.
But they asked me to do it, and then I said I did like an audition tape, and then they were like, "It's great, you got it," but we're also thinking of doing it in a British accent. And I was like, well, that doesn't sound like something I could do. And they're like, no worries, you got it. Do a British accent. And I was like, hello. They're like, perfect, do it.
that hello sounded like you've got this nailed.
Hello.
So it's a fictional character that hosted the 2020 Pornhub Awards. Was it a cartoon?
It's a cartoon rendering of Cum.
Okay.
It's like Mr. Semen. Peanut, you know? He's a peanut. He's got glasses, a top hat, and a cane.
Right. But peanuts
like
have a traditional...
Blob?
Yeah, peanuts have a traditional
human-shaped
shape that
curve,
you can work
yeah.
with, as opposed to Cum, which comes in all shapes and sizes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. So it's drips. And I don't know where to find it yet. It aired last night. On Pornhub, but I'm not sure. I Googled Pornhub today and I went to it and it's just porn. So I don't know.
Yeah, they're kind of going, they're doing a lot of overhaul over there because they culled like, I don't know, over 60% of their videos because they're now, like rightfully so, they're like, yeah, we're no longer letting you just upload some shit that's fucking because we don't know who made it and through the consent of the performers or anything. So we're going to switch to verified uploaders now. And then like someone's like, what happened to all the videos? It's like, yeah, well, you know, they're doing the bare minimum of being like,
well,
right,
you'll
right,
be happy.
Right, people, agency. Yeah.
You'll be happy to know that that was in my rider.
Yeah.
Oh, so you made
the reason.
Yeah, welcome.
It wasn't because Visa and MasterCard refused to stop processing payments on their website.
We got
potentially crippling
the
their
three
business.
Of us.
You, Visa, MasterCard.
yeah.
Also, where's Amex in all this? They're pro.
They're too good.
Pro.
They're like, please.
Please. Anyways, Nick, we're going to get to know you and your new alter ego a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We're going to check in with this wild story of a former police captain who was arrested in Houston trying to uncover the large-scale heist of the election. We'll talk about a plan from Senator Angus King that's not really a plan, but just an idea that we're all on board with.
Yeah,
we're going to look at the connection between the Stop the Steal and the anti-vax, the vaccine has computer chips in it, movements, surprisingly close to one another. We got to hear Tom Cruise, Tom Lose It. We're going to take a listen to that. We're going to check in with the celebrity theory that anybody who was famous before the year 2002 is hopelessly lost in our modern world. Christopher Walken edition. And we'll check in with loneliness if we have time.
If we have time. That sounds so fucked up, too. We'll check in and talk about if we get to it. I don't know. I got a lot going if on we get myself. To it. But anyway, who gives a shit?
Turns out our loneliness is killing us. Yeah, yeah. But first, before we get to any of that, Mr. Cum, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are, what you're up to, all that stuff?
Everything I've been Googling lately is about making t-shirts.
Okay.
I've started a t-shirt business in my home, against my will. I fought it. It happened to me. It could happen to the best of us. We're doing an episode. We did two episodes for Get Rich Nick, about making t-shirts for profit. And so I was expecting to open a wonderful Tee Public store. And then I was bullied by my guests and by my co-host Nick Vatterott into getting all the equipment. Vatterott was doing it. He was like, I'm getting all the equipment. We spent so much money. And then he's like, Google, he's got YouTube videos, and he's like, I know what I'm doing. And then what he did do was get paint on every single thing in his house and then went home for Christmas. So, but we got orders for shirts we got to make. So he dropped all the equipment over at my house before he left for like a month. And so now I'm just knee deep in it. I didn't want to be in it. I resent it. But that's all I do now.
So wait, what just is, doing some screen printing?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Doing some screen printing. Yes.
How many color screens are we talking here?
One color screen. Oh, wow. Come on.
So you even... Yeah, well, I don't know, you know, because when you want to get in the team-making game, you know, that's when the finesse moves come in with how many colors you're using. But, yeah, I get it. Even the first time I ever tried to screen print anything, I was like, this is fucked up. And shout out to, like, the crafty people who like doing this. Because for the same reason, I was like, paint's everywhere. And I guess my weird skate brand that I thought up at 20 years old isn't going to take off. So,
what was it?
Huh?
What was it called?
Oh, first I was making Laker merchandise that said Purple Rain on it. That was like the Purple Rain text, but R-E-I-G-N, because this was right when we were getting into our second back-to-back era. And I was like, I was trying to figure out how to do that shit on my own. And then I was like, my friend who's like, was working in costuming was like, there's a company, like, you can use my, like, a business account. If you just bring them, like, 50 shirts, they'll do it. It's better than screening. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. And then I tried selling them shits, and everybody, I was on the receiving end of all kinds of insults outside Staples Center when I was selling my t-shirts for that playoff run. All kinds.
You were out there with the...
I was hustling my bootleg t-shirts outside the Staples.
Like, with the people selling the bacon-wrapped sausages?
Yes. Hell yeah. I was out there, you know, because I was on my entrepreneur vibe, and a couple of my friends, you know, we were all Laker fans. They were like, yeah, let's do this shit, Purple Rain. And people were like, yo, that's fucking gay, fool. Like, I remember people being like, what? I was like, because it doesn't say Lakers. They're like, what the fuck is Purple Rain, motherfucker? People were cursing at me. It was all kinds of shit. It was like only very... Like the shitty Laker fans who are very like wealthy people were like, oh, I love that. How much is it? Oh, that's a steal. And I'm like, damn, like I was trying to connect with the fucking real. But yeah, all right. For you, they're 50 a piece because they're limited edition. But I'll get you a cut at 45.
Is it legal to sell stuff if it doesn't have like a Lakers logo on it?
Is it illegal?
Is it more legal?
Well, is at that point, at I mean, like, legal? Who's copy? Well, I'm not infringing on anyone's copyright at that point.
Yeah, but is it legal just to sell shirts in the street?
People can fuck with you for sure. Like, if you're selling bootleg stuff, like, cops can come at you. But I mean, it's not that, or at least in my experience, it was never that bad. Or can clearly, based on the amount of people who do sell, you know, like, bootleg merch outside of concerts and stuff, it's still a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe one day.
Also, bootleg merch is the only merch worth buying if you ever go to a show, because it's like so aggressive. It's just, it's its own aesthetic, and I think those are more fun than the ones you overpay for, like at a venue.
Except at Daily Zeitgeist shows, where we offer great merch at a great price.
No one's bootlegging Zeitgeist merch outside your shows?
I mean, I bootleg it, and then Jack gets mad at me because I'm like kind of taking.
That's a funny idea. If I could bootleg, if I could like make a bootleg T-shirt for like different. Like, if I get invited to a live podcast, I make my own and then I sell it at the show.
Yo, new idea. See, keep these ideas low, man. You could be coming out the gates with, like, the fucking amazing performances on these live shows.
What is something you think is overrated? Oh, sorry. Real quick, I wanted to ask you, what's your top seller? What top selling T-shirt and your new T-shirt?
Oh, it's just, it's our logo tee. We only offered two.
Okay.
One was a shirt that says, we'll work for food. Rent, utilities, transportation, insurance. Anyway, and but no, it's the logo shirt. That's all anybody wants.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
They're not, you know, because I'm not selling to like just randos. I'm just selling to people who listen to my podcast. Just like, yeah, I'll get a joke. Yeah.
What's something you think is underrated?
Underrated is Nug Club. I was talking about this yesterday on Deckheads, the most wonderful Below Deck review podcast. And Anna also is a member. And our guest this week, Lydia Popovich, is also a member of Nug Club. Nug Club is a monthly subscription service that I am not getting paid to say this. It's a monthly subscription service.
All the stoners in LA are on it, though.
Yeah. Okay. For weed. That's funny. For weed. It's the most incredible thing in my life. I haven't gone to the store since I started getting these boxes, and it's the cheapest way to get weed, and it just comes to your fucking house. And then last weekend they held drive-in movies in Malibu. I went and saw Superbad. Yeah, just for free, just like for their members. Yeah.
It's just like a lifestyle. Email.
Buddy, I don't know what to tell you.
Because I got lots of
emails about it.
I got Dan and Anna on that with my invite code, and I still didn't get the love for the drive-in. What the fuck?
Wow. Anyway,
wait, can we get
John
Anna in here?
Got me on it.
Super producer Anna Hosnier.
Anna said that she used my code, but now you say she used your code.
She told. I'll have to look in my account and see if I got that credit. That's the only way to know.
Nug influencers.
No, I use Nick's code, and Zach also used Miles' code. Look, guys, we're scamming. Cut this out.
Why am I on trial right now?
No, anyway, it was so fun.
It's so funny.
It's
just
fun company.
The invite code, though, the invite code energy, like when you have something, there's like, yo, use my code, though. Like when the early days of any like thing where you're like, yo, I get 20, though, if you use that shit. Like, it's the same shit with Nug Club, too. You're like, yo, no, use my shit, because if I get three more, then I'm going to get my next box for $1. But
it's funny, because you're always going to be like, because you get 22 if you use my code. It's like, I could use any code. I could Google a code. It doesn't matter about your code.
Like, why you, though? Come to me. Boy, why don't you pitch your code to me, and I'll use it.
So anyway, DM me and Miles, and we'll see who gets more. All right.
Was the screening a veritable Nug Club of fellow clubbers?
Say that again.
Like, was the screening was it packed with other people from the Nug Club? That like,
yeah. Well, it was specific to the Nug Club. It was done at this like venue, this like big looked like a big wedding venue, and I don't know, they had like two different drive-in areas that they'd made, I think, like since Corona, just like in their parking lots. But it was exclusive. It was invite only. I guess not everyone even got the invite. Miles, check your spam folder.
Yeah.
But it was packed. I mean, and they did this really interesting thing, which I'd never seen before, but I thought was really smart because it was free for the members, but they made you pay $20. Per car, and then just so you'd show up, and if you show up, they give you the money back. But if you don't show up, because otherwise everyone would just be like, yeah, I'll go maybe.
Right.
And then no one would be there.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Man, yeah. Nug Club really left me out. You know what? Fuck Nug Club now. You want to invite me to your fucking movies, bro? Fuck that.
That it is always interesting when something that is, I don't know, like every online community or online service tries to do this where they're like, come to the Domino's like gala event or like WeWork. I remember when we were when we started this podcast out of a WeWork, they were
Renegade
this is more of a lifestyle brand than anything. And like they were trying to like get you to like go to WeWork parties.
Like the culture of the company.
Nug Club sounds like they know what they're doing.
Yeah. It's still cool.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, I think most stoners are like, I don't know. Like, I'm really high. You want me to drive to Malibu right now? And then I got to drive back.
Right. Mm. Yeah.
They'd be better off being like, yo, here's your like free HBO Plus or whatever streaming thing for the weekend. You know, Nug Club got you. Be baked.
Well, here is the beautiful thing. It was at 5:30. And so afterwards, there's nothing to do.
Just
go get some food. Just, yeah. You got to go anywhere.
Smart. What is something you think is overrated, Nick?
Billionaires donating money. I think they get so much credit, and nobody ever donates more than they have like increased their wealth. I just saw that story today about Mackenzie, what's her face?
Bezos. Ex-Bezos.
Yeah. So she had given $6 billion this year to charity. And they were like, isn't this incredible? And in Forbes, she was listed in July as having $30 billion. And then in September, this is this year. Then in September, she had $68 billion.
Oh.
And then so she gave away $4 billion in that time. It's like, thank you. And she said her goal was to give away half of her money, which is hilarious for a person with $68 billion to say that she only wants to give away half of it. And also, how can you say that and then give away such a smaller percentage of what you made? What half of what? Half of your, future earnings?
Let me
just
ask
not
you this
time in the day
man.
To give away all this money.
Nick, you got $4 billion laying around? That's what I thought. So, you know what? It is a lot of money.
And
sir.
She does this for literally no work. She owns 4% of Amazon. And just that she gets in this time, she's gotten $1 billion every 3 days.
I mean, I would say she probably did it for more work in terms of more work than Jeff Bezos because she had to be married to that motherfucker for that many years. But I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, that's totally.
At a certain
fair.
Point, you're kind of like, let me look at the clock, man. If I run this out a few more years, I can get half this bitch.
Literally, everyone else in the world didn't marry him, so I'm not giving any credit.
we all managed to do that. But
round of applause.
The two things that they love doing is getting credit for giving away their money and sheltering the fuck out of their money from the government, from any like having to pay taxes, which is where it should actually be going. Like, yeah, the government will gladly take half of your money. They take half of a lot of people's money who can't afford to fucking like put it in a tax shelter offshore or whatever.
So at the very least, I want to I submit to the Zeit Gang. Let's stop using Amazon. Boycott Amazon. Nick Turner said it. And when they kill me, you look back to this episode of TDZ.
Amazon's really the worst.
It's bad. Yeah. I started boycotting last year, and it's incredibly difficult.
Yeah.
Right.
I got in
trouble,
I
think that's
for
probably
boycotting this year and having to pay like $30 shipping on something. But you know what?
We'll probably stop doing the Audible ads too then.
Now Audible, on the other hand.
yeah, I love the Washington Post too. Look, it's not all terrible.
Right. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And a story that was kind of unimaginable probably even a couple years ago is now, I don't know, hopefully this isn't the new normal, but there is a former police captain who was funded with $250,000 to try to track down the imaginary scheme that stole the election from Trump. Is basically
exactly.
Yeah.
Of this man is a fucking patriot who doing round the clock surveillance on the kingpin mastermind of a 750,000 fake absentee ballot scheme. Okay. And he tried to fucking tell everyone. This man, I think it's like Mark Anthony Aguirre. He's like 63. He was watching this person who he believed with others in this group of patriots to figure out if this was the kingpin of this fake ballot scheme. One day, this man leaves for work. Aguirre follows him, like crashes into his car to force the guy to pull over. When the man comes out, pulls a fucking gun out and holds him at gunpoint, gets him on the ground, puts a knee to his back. And while some other goons hopped out, take the guy's work van and take off with it. When the cops come, all to find out this guy is just a air conditioning repair technician. Nothing more. He is just a man who lived in a mobile home park or something where this guy was tailing him. And they decided this was the guy who had a bunch of ballots in his van, which is why they tried to get him when he was in his work van, only to find the normal things that a fucking AC repair tech would have in their van. And when the cops came, they were like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? And this guy, Aguirre, told the officer that arrives, like, look, man, you can be on the right side of history or the wrong side, man. But I'm telling you, this guy's blah, 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 blah. And they're like, okay, sir, like, you're under arrest. Like, what the fuck is this? This is like false imprisonment, like all kinds of shit. You're coming with us. And the thing that you're talking about, Jack, the $250,000. Yes, this guy was fucking funded to do this work to the tune of over $260,000. He got a $211,000 payment the day after this confrontation took place, just directly wired into his account. They're like, everyone's like, what the fuck is this money? It turns out he's saying, I'm working for the Liberty Center. And this is a thing that's funded by this guy, Steve Hotz, who's a huge mega donor to the GOP. And he was basically, you know how before the election we were talking about how there were 127,000 ballots in Harris County that were like the Republicans are trying to sue to get invalidated because they were in this drive-through vote center. He was funding that legal battle amongst many others. He was going all out to try and, you know, fuck the election up and also find evidence of fraud. This was his big thing. The Liberty Center's Facebook group was all about, we're going to find this fraud. They were asking people on their website being like, yo, please give us money. We have all these investigations going. They cost like $200,000, a very specific number per investigation. We need this money. And this is where we're at. And, you know, apparently this man, Aguirre, was telling law enforcement at every level. He asked the attorney general of the state, like the heads of police departments, the Texas Rangers, saying, this guy's got ballots, man. I'm watching him. You got to help me out with this. And they're all like, please stop calling here. Like, you can't just call in a fake crime and expect us to fucking go do something about it. And he was pleading with them. Which kind of brings me to an interesting point, which is what happens when if you're in law enforcement and someone is so insistent that a crime is occurring and them saying that they are also investigating, like at what point is their responsibility to try and figure out, wait, hold on, are you just going to harass somebody who's not doing a fucking thing because you're hopped up on like Newsmax and OAN conspiracy bullshit? So, yes, that is a weird thing. And I'd hope this is not the new normal, but it feels like some shit as we get closer to January 20th and these people like on the full Trump MAGA world train are like, oh man, he's really going to pull a switcheroo on him on January 19th. Like, come on, bro. Dad went to get cigarettes and is not coming back.
It's truly wild how much just, you know, Republican donors are able to manipulate the reality of people who are in the thrall of that party. Like, this reminds me, for some reason, of the whole Tea Party movement and just, you know, 5-10 years on reading what was actually going on with the Tea Party movement being, you know, billionaires funding the whole thing and, like, doing grassroots organizing to get these people to do their bidding. It's
also, this is the charities that they are donating to.
Right.
This is when they say, donated $5 billion. It's to QAnon.
To Liberty. Yeah.
Yeah, the Liberty Center. Yeah.
Liberty's had such a bad run, just like from a PR perspective, the word Liberty.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I mean, even the
that
WNBA
star meter
team
is down.
Yeah.
Ever since Rebecca Lobo left, I mean, the Liberty ain't been right. Mm. I'll tell you that.
I know.
But yeah, I don't know, you know, where this goes, how this evolves. But it's truly like this weird, like, you know, these mega donors, they get off on just being like, I think I can get a bunch of like poor, useful stooges to like sow chaos. And I can kind of be like, yeah, watch me do that shit with money or other people's money, rather than like substantively trying to actually like win an election, like, you know, get more people out there to try and do some, you know, door knocking or whatever. It's like, nah, I'm going to get a guy who is a cop to basically act like a fucking Steven Seagal character, and maybe he'll manufacture some evidence of fraud, and I don't care, but fuck it. Like, let's just do that. That's fun. Well, I'm sit back and do that with my money.
America just needs the slightest of pushes to become violent, like, you know, right wing ideologues. Like that's you're just helping them do what they already want to do in this
right.
case, I feel like.
And a lot of experts are saying this whole rejection of the election results is basically like they're just saying, oh, this is what they're doing is they're accelerating radicalization of the party by doing this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It's not just they're not giving up. It's like, no. Like even whether or not they know it or if it's intentional, is like the fact that the party line is now saying we're against reality is the one of the, you know, it's a huge step towards fully radicalizing everything. And it's not like Trumpism. It's more just like GOP is just going like mask off with it because the Trumpism narrative is kind of like more than like, I think he was just the dude at the concert, the first dude at the concert to smoke a blunt inside when the security's like, hey, no smoking inside. And everyone's like, oh, we can smoke in here? Okay, yeah. Because I was on that shit anyway, too. That's basically what's happened. It's not that Trump is anything new. It's just like, he sparked up before everybody else did. And everybody else knew what time it was.
Yeah.
It was remarkable after Mitch McConnell acknowledged Biden as president-elect, there's still 220 senators and congresspeople, Republican who have yet to acknowledge it. And I just wonder, what would people be doing if there wasn't like just these people whose lives are spent doing QAnon, Proud Boy bullshit? Like, what if that was not there and no one had tricked them in going to a fun party once where it like, turned into ruin their lives? Like, it's just such a fucking waste of time
and energy and
lives. Yeah. Like, it's just a waste of lives.
Yep.
Right.
And a ruiner of family relationships. And there's so much unseen damage being done.
It's hard. I get it. Just as a sports fan, right? Like, one of my teams, Arsenal, is fucking up right now. They are comically bad. But, like, rather than read the posts that are, like, analyzing why it's so bad, even though they're objective analyses of like what's going wrong, I'd rather read the article where the staff at the club are saying, yeah, we expected all of this turbulence right now. And it's all part of the plan because we got to get through this to reach the next evolution. Like it's like an equivalent where it's like, I don't want the objective or like, just make me feel good or like less bad about the thing that I'm so attached to being bullshit.
Right.
Or at least on some like very humanistic, you know, like that's just our need to never feel like we're fully losing or, you know, because we have this like sort of binary of winning or losing in our minds, especially with politics, that it just turns into this thing where it's like, well, I ain't fucking losing. So if I'm not losing, then I'm choosing to follow Q.
That kind of brings us to a related story, a related trend we're seeing where the same people who are pushing all the stop the steal bullshit are now pushing anti-vax bullshit. Like it's basically just been a clean transition for Sidney Powell, for instance, the Rosemary's Baby lady who was on Trump's staff and then got thrown under the bus because she was saying things that had been widely debunked, like more than Giuliani was. And
like,
now
like Trump had won the election.
Right. Yeah. Like even more.
It's so funny. Hey,
I actually fail to see the distinction at this much distance. It's like weeks on. I don't really. Yeah. But it is interesting that they have that it's the same people. It's the same energy. And it's just transparently deadly, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think, this is all part of the same. Like it makes sense because vax questioning is sort of normal for Trump world. Like with a lot of these people who are just going all in on stop the steal, it's just funny because you're like, okay, so that road has sort of just ended. So you got to pivot to something because you have to stay relevant. And so the things that the same people, whether it's Sidney Powell or Marjorie Greene, whatever the QAnon woman from Georgia who's about to enter the House of Representatives is, and many other like huge MAGA like stars, they're all pivoting to this like vaccine, like what's going on with it? And the top things that they're talking about is vaccines are delivered with a microchip or barcode to keep track of people. I don't know what that means.
Yep.
Like, have you, anyone who knows anyone who's even passed a kidney stone, I don't know how you're going to put a fucking microchip through an injection and be like, you didn't even know, right? That there's a fucking piece of mic. What the fuck?
Miles, they're just smaller than you're thinking.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're tiny.
Smaller,
But we do chip our pets. I think the technology exists. I wouldn't put it past.
But that's a subdermal thing that you know, like it's going in. It's not like you'd be like, "Yo, what's this thing under my skin? I can't. What's this bump?" You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
true.
But it's meant to be so much more insidious than that. Other than that, they've been talking about, more Bill Gates stuff. And how, like, he's also, responsible for the coronavirus. And because this is part of, like, the, communist Chinese plan to divide America and break it down. And the other big thing is talking about how there will be, like, vaccination cards. Like, who will be vaccinated and who won't? But that's just because someone, there was, like, a healthcare expert on CNN who had mentioned that, like, if you get vaccinated, like, they'll give you an appointment card that showed that you had gone to get a vaccination. Nothing more, nothing less. Just to be like, yeah, you did it. Not to say like, hey, where's your vaccination patch before you can pass through this gate? Like,
I don't understand why that would be a problem to require people to have been vaccinated to do certain things, because otherwise, that fucks with.
Yeah, but they made Jews wear stars in the Holocaust,
right? So yeah, I get why the optics are bad. Very frustrating.
Even in a conversation, like, because I look at our conservative and like all the other weird shit that's available to me online, because I need to know what what they're sipping on.
What's
in these
coming.
Places.
Yeah.
And it really is like the discourse just ends at being like mentioning the Holocaust, and then it's like accepted. It's never like no one goes, or anyone who does question, they just say, hey, go to our politics for your fucking leftist safe space or whatever. But like it's no one's ever saying, well, yeah, if we that you should have that so you know who's safe or who isn't or what that means. It's just immediately let's cosplay into oppressed people, because that's all of this thing's about.
So with the Stop the Steal, I understand what's at stake for all the people, for the Sydney Pals. They're on the side of somebody who's trying to become the most powerful person in the Western world, or remain the most powerful person in the Western world. But what, other than maintaining their audience, do they get out of like claiming that vaccines are going to microchip them? Is it just sort of that on to the next thing that is going to keep people entertained?
Because these accounts like Sydney Powell's and all these other like hot take artists on the right, they need to be like the ones breaking these dumb stories or misinformation takes. Like that's how they keep their followers up, and they can leverage that into begging for money or, going to some other, dark money donor and being like, I can get this message out or whatever. Like there's just a whole market to be notable online right now. But there aren't many direct like, oh, you can turn that into a Herbalife sponsorship. It's not like being on The Bachelor or something like that. But
right.
It's about this. You have to stay relevant, because that keeps you elevated in this world. And if you've been, ringing the bell of, Stop the Steal, and now that isn't hitting anymore, you have to figure out what's going to work, because these people are guided by metrics like anybody else. And there's analysis about like why this shift is happening. Specifically, like election misinformation, it peaked on November 4th. It peaked on the day after the election. That was a height. And it's been a downward hill from there, which I think is a good sign that it actually hit its peak just the day after rather than like 10 days later. But they're saying 375,000 mentions across cable TV, social media, print, online. And then by December 3rd, that had fallen to 60,000 mentions. So it wasn't the hot topic anymore. But on the other hand, coronavirus misinformation went to 46,100 mentions on December 3rd, when it was only at 17,000 on November 8th. So you're just like, it's just like surfing, baby. You just got to catch the next wave. And it's just about whatever being in opposition to the established, scientific knowledge or whatever the policies are going to be of the Biden administration. That's just all they're going to like. They're just going to keep hopping from thing to thing so they can be the captain of the culture war.
You'd think that they'd get tired of being wrong about literally everything.
But when
doesn't
has it
matter.
When has how who
doesn't
been,
matter?
Yeah.
Who's when been the, canceled say, for being wrong? You know,
when they say the world's going to end, and then everyone's like, oh, the world's going to end that day. It doesn't happen. So, oh, got it wrong. It's next year. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, you got it wrong. You got it wrong that one time.
Because all this shit really at the end of the day are just different masks that, de facto white supremacy and all this other shit is wearing. You know, it's not about the fucking vaccine. It's not about this. The steal is about we lost our fucking Nazi leader who we thought was going to bring us the Fourth Reich here to America. And he didn't. And they're pissed about that because they liked that people of color and anyone who wasn't a cishet Christian was on the back foot this whole time being like, yo, what the fuck's going on? This is really bad. And now that that's gone, it can't just, you know, I mean, the ones that are all down, all in for racism, they're going to keep doing that. But these are the things that allow them to keep that energy up of like, I'm against progress, but I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say Bill Gates is microchipping us or stop the steal because too many people of color voted against our racist agenda. So it's just, you know, it's finding ways to, it's like that thing in I Heart Huckabees, you know, the blanket. Everything's the blanket. You know what I mean? The universe is the blanket. It's just expressing itself in different ways, but it's all just, you know, trying
to hold
on to this.
They're addicted to being persecuted, and they also happen to be the most privileged part of the human race in maybe history. And so that's gonna require some dissonance on their part. But it is sometimes I know what I'm saying is like, you'd think they'd get one thing right is obviously stupid and like, where have I been for the past 3 years? But sometimes I just like see these things anew for the first time with fresh eyes. I'm just like, holy shit.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, you know, the frustration is real, though, like on the right, because there are people who are like who like to win arguments and are racist and realize they can't win arguments right now. And they're like, what the fuck is going on? Like, what's the president doing? Like, either he won and there's evidence or there isn't. But we need to fucking get to that. And it's so there are, you know, there are people who also can. They're, you know, intelligent enough to see the L coming, being lowered onto them very slowly and crushing them.
Yeah.
Even after the electors certified the election, predict it still hasn't resolved for Biden winning. Yeah.
So you can still win money by.
I mean, not much. Yeah. But it's just fucking bonkers that everything has happened. I guess we wait till it goes to the Senate or whatever.
Jesus.
Until that first State of the Union address, he is not the president. Like
yeah,
that.
Exactly.
Not until he leaves office do we know he truly was president.
Damn, okay, I guess he did that. He did that.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And briefly, Senator Angus King has proposed something that I think streaming services might want to think about doing, which is just give everybody free access to their platforms for the holidays.
At the very least.
At the very least.
America, we've proven we're shit at listening to directions and considering other people. But also at the same time, we've also proven that we live in a country where it's so fucking greedy that we can't even get people to be on board with it because we're left to our own devices with no help. So it's a real interesting situation here. But when you look at how much streaming platforms have made money this year, I think this plan is very good because I think they could stand to give shit away for free for a couple of weeks. While what Angus King is saying, the one independent in the Senate from Maine, he says, quote, "While your platforms would likely experience greater traffic as a consequence of extending service, we encourage you to provide temporary service at no cost to non-subscribers as a way to encourage people to make responsible choices and safely navigate this holiday season." And I think that's genius, because if there's one thing we also live in this country, it's staring at the flickering idiot box, too. So why not?
But there's one thing that's definitely going to work is just hoping a company does the right thing. I think there's no way this fails.
I feel like this needs to be pitched as like, well, I do wonder, because HBO does that, right? Like, they have the deal with cable companies where they give away HBO for free for like the first year.
It's advertising.
Yeah, so you're just advertising, getting people used to it. Yeah. So like, it seems like they could maybe get it done that way, using the shrewd, soulless logic of capitalism and market economics.
And it's not, they're not giving away any money. They keep their subscriber money, and their subscribers don't get like a bonus 2 weeks. It's just for people who weren't giving them money anyway. It does seem easy to do. Also, all you need is three friends, and then you pay for every third streaming service, and there's no problem.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that's,
you know, the striminals, the striminal syndicates that are out here, you know, operating.
It's baked
in the shadows
into it.
Yeah,
they tell you to do it.
It's such an easy thing to do. You know, it's almost like I want the government to like seize control of the stream. Like, yo, y'all are giving this shit for free. Like, run your fucking content for these people, because we can't get our shit together to even give people fucking money. I think right now the thing we're hearing is a $600 check. Wow. So generous.
Is that real?
It's so cute.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
That's the latest negotiation number I've heard. They went from nothing to maybe 600, but like, it should be.
Did you lose everything? Here's one trip to Costco.
Jesus.
Yeah,
Christ.
Absolutely. And also, like, we're not going to deal with the banks, so they're going to keep squeezing you for, you know, rent, mortgages, whatever, and possible eviction. So I feel like this is truly, it's like such an easy thing. You know, if you're not going to, if you can't incentivize it any other way, then what the fuck? Then make it easy to just stay at home rather than being like, you know, I'm sure parents would love to be able to be like, look, this is maybe I don't like my kids watching TV, but for this holiday season, let it fucking rip, because I don't want anybody going outside. It's easier to deal with, but
Yeah. I mean, American companies used to shut down factories or convert factories into, you know, doing things for the war effort or ration consumption, ask people to ration consumption for the war effort, but that's not who we are anymore. We're not all about that.
Well, because the Nazis are now here. So
right.
We're different part, when they yeah, were exactly. They were over there and we're like, who? The who? And our boys Nazis. Are going to fight them? All right. Yeah. We hear you. Well, I'll stop drinking milk. But now it's like, yeah, man, I'm a fucking proud boy. Like, what the fuck is like? It's all fucked up now.
All right, let's talk about Tom Cruise. Tom wow. losing it. So, I don't know. We've seen this dude's manic energy usually in the ways he's wanted us to see it, not always super flattering, but always.
I mean, he loved Katie Holmes. For us.
He loved right. So that was that at the outer edge when it was like, oh wow, we gotta look at the fact that this is not a human being who experiences reality the way we do. He also gets his energy out sprinting around film sets, jumping from building to building, memorizing everyone in Hollywood's name in a single afternoon. But we've never seen him be this cool. Let's hear a little audio of him just unleashing on people who were not standing 6 feet apart by a computer on the set of Mission Impossible 7.
We are the gold standard. You're back there in Hollywood making movies right now because of us. Because they believe in us and what we're doing. I'm on the phone with every studio at night. Insurance companies. Producers. And they're looking at us and using us to make their movies. We are creating thousands of jobs, you
That was, we are creating thousands of jobs, you motherfuckers.
And if you don't do it, you're fired. And I see you do it again, you're gone.
Yeah, that goes on for another 2 minutes. Yeah. Just a steady, it's a berating that is straight out of middle school. Like, yeah. It feels like when my friend's dad caught us playing with guns.
Right.
You know what I mean? And be like, what the fuck? You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh shit, we're fucking up. We're fucking up. We're fucking up. And it's weird because that energy, it's like, well, you know, I didn't think I would see Tom Cruise being like, I feel we're responsible. We're beholden to many other people in this industry. Now, I don't know if that's because he just thinks he's the god MC of films, or that's really coming from a place of that. He's like, we have to make this work because we can't have things keep shutting down. But it's weird when you're like, oh, I'm agreeing with his like where he's coming from. I'm curious about everything that's going on, but it was a weird moment to be in.
Yeah, you do have to admit, like, if there's an outbreak of COVID on whatever Mission Impossible 7, that's right. If there's an outbreak of COVID there, then there probably will be implications in every single production around the world after that if they have to shut down the most expensive movie. Because protocols aren't enough. Yeah.
The fallout from the protocols not being those are all Mission Impossible titles.
You don't want everyone to die and become a ghost.
That was a upvoted comment on Reddit. It's like, oh, I guess they were ghosting the protocols.
Nice. Yeah. He also swears weird. I think we have to address
you
that.
Motherfuckers, even
we
with
are
the
creating
bleep, like,
thousands of jobs, you motherfuckers,
you motherfuckers.
Kind of like
who says that?
It's like Flanders learning to swear for the first time. Like, yeah,
like, I don't think I would ever like, I mean yeah, motherfuckers is a good name. I like calling a singular person a motherfucker. It's not a good group insult most of the time, but I don't know, it's a beautiful word.
Also, creating jobs is like a great idea, and I think people should be commended in many instances. It's people don't create jobs. Like, you get a good job enough where you're the hirer, but you didn't create an industry. You didn't create jobs. If you weren't doing this movie, they'd be doing another movie.
Right.
It's not
right. Yeah, you know, but
it's a misleading term.
I mean, but look, this guy has hopped up on his, you know, space religion where the spirits went into all the volcanoes and he's like a operating Thetan level 6,000 or whatever. So, yeah, maybe he is feeling himself a little bit because he, you know, he's also a god figure in Scientology, too.
I mean, you get strong, like the book Going Clear, you learn that he is surrounded by literal slaves, like for most of his days. It's people who signed away their I think it's like a billion year contract with the Sea Org, and they are responsible for just like making every aspect, every detail of his life perfectly frictionless and beautiful. And that's, you know, he coasts along on that energy. And so, yeah, the weight of the world is on his shoulders in his own head, because he is the center of the universe, and everything around him has been designed to reinforce that idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tom, way to go, bro. It's just so weird. I don't know. Like, it's a take that, yes, you want it. Like, anytime you hear someone being like, we have to follow these safety guidelines to keep everyone safe, I'm like, yeah, I like that. And then you zoom in, you're like, it's Tom Cruise. Oh, man.
It's like also
that Larry David gif from Curb. I'm like, right.
The girl tasting the thing. What
Mm. Oh, the kombucha. Was it the kombucha?
Yeah, the kombucha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Mm. Nah.
She really leaned into that too. She got a lot of merch.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. She's like a comedian. Too. It's one of the great performances of our time. five seconds.
If you can become a two-panel meme, then you're killing it right now. Yes. That's all. Everyone's a two-panel. If you're a two-panel meme, you're good. If you're Drake with the, you know,
Hotline
Bling video, or it's Marie Kondo with "This brings me joy. This does not spark joy." That's where it's hitting.
I think the thing that got him mad in the first place was that people weren't standing 6 feet apart from each other. They were like staying next to each other with masks on at a computer, is my understanding of the interaction, which is not like the thing that has been most like I feel like that's the one that people let slide the most. So, watch your back around Hollywood. Don't stand within 6 feet of somebody, lest Tom Cruise be driving by and let you have it.
Yeah.
They're
like, we're not behind we're the DIT. We're like we're the ones color correcting the footage and taking it in. Like, we have to be by this computer.
Tom, this is my wife.
You motherfuckers. Oh my God, Tom.
It's our honeymoon, Tom. We chose it. We're working during our honeymoon.
I'm sorry, we errantly walked onto your set. We have nothing to do with the production.
And you.
You're gone too, you fuckwit. Oh my God, please. That's my dog.
Oh man. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That was the response from everybody. Well, speaking of just the entitled sense of self-importance that comes with being a celebrity, I like to talk about how being famous before the year 2002 is like a impediment to being a functional human in the modern world, because, you know, the cast of Friends, Owen Wilson, like these are people who have never had to learn to type on a computer, like have never had to like keep up with an inbox of emails, whether they chose to or not, up to them. But I have to believe that they are functionally impossible to deal with in terms of just day-to-day technology. And we have some new evidence that you can't teach these old dogs new tricks. Christopher Walken was on, what was it, Kimmel?
Colbert.
And said that he's never sent an email in his life.
Never. Yeah. And it's just sort of like in line with what was the Eminem one? He only had like DVD pornos.
Yeah.
Like
so
in
there
tapes
was a
shit.
There's a complex interview where he's like showing off his DVD porn collection. And the guy who's doing the interview is like, wow, that's cool that you're like old school like that. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, well, most people today just get their porn on the internet. And Eminem is like, there's porn on the internet? And then like the guy just has to show him the internet for the first time, essentially.
And Marshall proceeded to tear down his DVD bookcases after I showed him that clip. But yeah, here's Chris Walken, first Colbert confirming, he's like, I've heard tell that you don't know anything about computers. And this is how Christopher Walken explains his dilemma.
Is it true that you have never owned a computer or a cell phone?
Yeah, somebody had to come and set this up because I don't have a cell phone or a computer.
And is there, why don't you have one? Are you morally, philosophically, emotionally opposed?
No, I just got to it too late. You know, I think I'm right at a certain age where it just passed me by. And I never got involved in it because it would be strange to have, you know, any 10-year-old be much better at it than I am.
Okay. Thanks, Chris.
I mean, that was a take. That it is like going back in time to the late 90s when that was a take. Like, oh, I don't have a cell phone, you know?
Right.
That's not me.
What are these 10-year-olds on that AOL or what is that thing? Nah.
Exactly. Nah.
And then ego gets in the way. Like, clearly his ego got in the way because he's citing the fact that some hypothetical child would best him on the internet. And he's not taking that L. So fuck.
He just doesn't want to learn from someone younger than him.
Right.
I found a similar cutoff recently in Tidal, the music streaming platform.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They had their end of the year. You know, like much like Spotify, but no one shared anything. Right. Their end of the year lists and the rock music category. Because someone was like asking me about my interests, and I was just like, what is the rock music that came out this year? And I looked up, and it is not until the 17th song on the list of hottest rock songs of the year where there is a band that started as a band after the year 2000.
Wow. Whoa.
The list is like Bruce Springsteen, The Rolling Stones, Tom Petty, Pearl Jam. The Strokes were the youngest band on the list.
Right, and that was just a group of stroke victims who started a band. elderly band. I don't know.
Yeah, what the fuck? They just don't make rock music anymore. Yeah. I don't understand what changed.
You know, it's that thing.
I'm too old. I think
you know this thing because I've caught my parents doing it. Like, there's always like a ubiquitous app, right? There's one everybody uses, and somehow your parents are like on the weird fucking secondary, tertiary bullshit version.
That's me.
And you're like, what do you mean? Where are you getting your music? They're like, I don't know, Magoo Audio. I'm like, what the fuck is that? They're like, well, it has some of the albums I like. I'm like, yo, this is nonsense. And you're paying way more. Like, I feel it's this sort of similar thing we're witnessing.
Yeah, I wonder if that's because Tidal is Jay-Z or whatever, and it's more hip-hop focused, that they just don't do rock music on it.
I don't think so, man. I think rock music is dead. Like, I don't think there's, when you look at like the top 200 songs of the year on Pitchfork,
I figured it out.
There's like,
I figured it
one
out.
Band, the 1979 is like the one band that, and I don't even know if that's the name of the
1975?
Band. 1975. That's how familiar I am with them.
The old 97s?
Yeah.
I think the thing that I'm seeing now, because I'm like, nah, like, because it feels like old people shit, right? Like,
yeah,
granted, those are good bands, but like when those are your charts, that means the, you know, older people are like loving their shit on that app. I think the reason is Sprint. If you are on Sprint, you get Tidal for free.
That's why I have it.
And Sprint feels like my friend's parent, like the cell phone company of my friend's parents. Like, I have a very older person perception of Sprint because, like, those are people who are diehard Sprint users, like, from the 90s who are like, fuck Verizon. And I remember when it used to be called Singular, not AT&T Wireless. You know, those are the people I feel like who stayed diehard with Sprint. They're getting a free music service called Tidal, and then it's just easy.
Also free Hulu. And, yeah, I've been on a family plan for at least 20 years.
Okay, I'm just looking at the top rock songs of 2020, according to Google. Number one is Shot in the Dark by AC/DC. Did they release an album this year, AC/DC?
Yeah, brand new album.
Number two, Shame Shame by The Foo Fighters.
Yep, Foo Fighters on there.
Like, I there's a Pearl Jam song on there, uh-huh. 21 Pilots, Green Day, Bon Jovi, Bush, The Killers.
Bush is back.
Another AC/DC.
Breathe in, breathe out.
There's a Taylor Swift song on here. Like, it's really Slim Pickens, and then a bunch of shit that I've
Slim Pickens
heard.
On there?
Yeah, yeah. Slim Pickens
Real old
made
school.
It. Machine Gun Kelly, the rapper who was like, I'm going to do something completely unexpected and release
in
a,
my
a
head,
punk album.
In my head. Dude, when I heard that song, I was like, what the fuck is this? And then I'm like, oh, Travis Barker duped Machine Gun Kelly into doing a Blink-182.
Yo, Miley Cyrus did that too. She made like a rock album.
But yeah, it's a pose. I mean, it's not even an entire genre of music anymore.
Mm-hmm.
What is rock anymore? I mean, really, that's really the questions we should be answering rather than coming at Tidal telling what's going on.
Tidal's got just as much as everything else.
Right.
I think.
I do want to talk about loneliness really quickly. Just it's not a new subject. We've been talking about how there's a loneliness epidemic in the country. But I was reading this article that was about just how loneliness has evolved over the course of the pandemic. And it, I don't know. First of all, it just seems like a lot of the things that we used to do with people are not, I don't know. There's a way that that loneliness interacts with the zeitgeist that I feel like, there's just a part of the overall problem is the speed and sophistication that like marketing and the market economy in our country like incorporates and subsumes every human emotion and interaction of value. Like because the article starts out talking about how in the early part of the pandemic, there were all these like different ways people were interacting with like Zoom calls and you know, Zoom family reunions, and then like going out and welcoming and recognizing the frontline workers and all these different things. But like, those are all things now that I associate with like shitty ads that I've seen.
Right.
And I don't know. I think there's something to the way that like all human, like all decent human interaction has been like turned into a marketing tactic that like contributes to the overall loneliness of modern life.
It's how like marketing tactics have evolved. Like went from Mad Men of being like, if you're a bro, you smoke cigs and like you're with hot chicks and drink scotch and like that's the lifestyle. And now we're like, yo, you have friends. Nike.
Right.
It's like, like, whoa. Like, yeah, like it's not even this fake life anymore that we were sort of hypnotizing people with through advertising. Is that what you're saying? Like, now it's just sort of like the carrot on the stick or the hook is now like, do you remember like when like you felt good like as a human?
Right. Yeah. And it's just it like robs the soul of it. Like this article talks about like it's in Harvard magazine, and it's about like they have the School of Public Health, and they did a whole, like they had somebody in their program who was coming back from China and was like just burst into tears the second they started talking to somebody because of like, you know, the loneliness and the just situation on the ground. And so like 3 weeks before everything shut down, they started having this like symposium of like solutions to the loneliness that we were going to have. And like one of the things they ended up finding is that like collaborating on creative projects and actually like creating something with other people was like the one solution that people were able, like that made people feel fulfilled. And I feel like that ties into like, it can't be immediately like robbed of its value if you're actively creating something. Like creativity is the one thing that like can't be taken by a brand and turned into like a GE or like beer ad.
Well,
like,
I literally sold my creativity to companies for years.
Right.
Like in that sense. But yeah, like what is that commercial like next where it's like people jamming and they're like, right. Fuck yeah, State Farm Insurance.
Right. But I feel like it's, yeah, I don't know. It's,
you know, what was, I feel like was stolen recently was your birthday. Remember on Facebook, like it was your birthday. You were the number one person in the world. You would get hundreds of messages. Everyone knew about it because it was the first time, you know, everyone just knew what your birthday was. Mm-hmm. And they could say happy birthday. And it was so fantastic. And now a birthday is, if you are notable, if you are famous, then your good friends will publicly wish you a happy birthday. If you are famous.
Because then they can say they know you.
If you are not famous. Yeah, if you're because it's a personal thing where now everyone knows a little light's shined on them because they know you, and it, mm-hmm. and then you can't just be doing like big posts about birthdays every day. So now, like, even my close friends, you know, it's like where you would say happy birthday, now you don't.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm. I mean, that's a problem with this town. You know, you never know who's with you and who's against you. Everybody wants something, especially when you're. And doing second-rate podcasts. I know that. I know that feeling.
But that is...
Nug Club suddenly doesn't hit you up. I'll tell you that. Everyone's hanging out to go watch Superbad.
That is an example of, like, this thing being turned into and, like, commodified on into, like, a Facebook gesture that then once it becomes its own, like, meme or its own genre of, like, human behavior, then it, like, sort of... It gets emptied of its value. Like, and like turned into like some part of this influence and influence peddling like market economy that is social media. Yeah, I don't know. Like, it just is a overall pattern that I think is undergirding like everything with regards to like the unhappiness epidemic. Like, they're saying that. 18 to 24 year olds are the loneliest people on the planet, according to research. And, you know, they're the most online.
And they're always trying to dunk on us for being old. It's like, right. Okay, well, I'm going to go with my family. I don't know what to
do. Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to dunk on this 24 year old by kissing my partner in this photo. I'm like, you mad, lonely ass. Lonely that's how ass. We fight back. But yeah, no, I mean, it's fucked up, but it's like, it's a weird phenomenon too. Like you're saying, you're online where you can be connected, yet these feelings are just so intense. Yeah. I mean, again, just a good reminder, reach out to people because it's difficult to reach out when you yourself are like in a dark place. Cause sometimes you don't realize, you know, and it takes somebody else being like, hey, you good? You good? What's up? Yeah. Let's even talk for a little bit.
Having something scheduled, I think, is it, like regularly scheduled. Like, I have regular check-ins with some of my friends that is helpful because I never feel like doing them right before, but afterwards, I'm always glad that I have done them.
Yeah.
All right, Nick, Mr. Cum, it's been great having you on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Thank you for having me.
As always, where can people find you and follow you?
Well, don't go to Pornhub.com, I guess. But you can follow me at Nick's Turners on the socials. Please subscribe to my podcast, Deckheads, right here. Ow. Right here at home. Yes, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Ryan Hamilton, the wonderful stand-up comedian, notable for kind of looking like Jerry Seinfeld. He wrote, "My bedtime is whatever time it is when I look at the clock." That is absolutely true for me. It's every night. Like, Larry, what time is it? Like, 9:30. Up bedtime. 11:45. Up bedtime. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. I'm only asking because I'm tired.
Yeah. 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 Man. Miles, where can people find you and follow you? And what's the tweet you've been enjoying?
Let's see. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also, you know, talking 90 day on 420 day a fiance. Hey, let's see some tweets. I like one is this one. Somebody, it just kind of blew up, which just says, you know, tell me you're white without saying I'm white. And the replies, some are good, some are lame as fuck. But I think, and some are just, you know, like this one was just mac and cheese from the box is the best. I mean, although I don't know if that's necessarily, you can, I don't think white culture can claim box mac and cheese. Another one is, my high school had multiple drive your tractor to work days. I had someone call for a welfare. Well, huh?
I mean, that must be right.
That feels right, farm culture or things like that. But anyway, it's a fun thing. Just read through it. Someone just said, I have never been arrested, stopped, or searched by the police. That one hits a little too hard. And then another one I like is from Brandy Posey at Brandazzle, D-A-Z-Z-L. She tweets, I resent that the pandemic has made me like Tom Cruise.
It's a bridge too far. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, some tweets I've been enjoying. At Drill tweeted, we asked 100 angels from heaven what their IQs were, and the results will drain your nuts. Which, just a good encapsulation of that genre of headline you see on the side of
clicking
articles.
That.
Yeah, when you get tricked into going to the wrong website. At Hello Colon tweeted something in response to news that there's going to be an F word in the new Batman film. He tweeted, Batman swoops down from the shadows. Batman, shut up, Riddler. Fuck you. I hate you. And then someone pointed out, Freddie Campion tweeted, my wife just confessed that for her entire childhood, she thought Colonel Sanders' bow tie was his whole body, and now I can't stop seeing a tiny stick body every time I look at him. Google Colonel Sanders, and that will fuck you up real good. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on today?
This track is from Stro Elliott. And, you know, it's some more samples. You know, I like the samples. And it's called Marvin's Mood, because he's chopping up a bunch of, I'm pretty sure they, I mean, to my ear, sounds like Marvin Gaye samples. And I'm pretty sure it is. And I'm not going to ask how those samples cleared, because who cares? But it's a great track of just really soulful elements of Marvin Gaye's voice over, you know, beats you can really whip your head to. So, yeah, take that, Marvin's Mood, Stro Elliott.
Take that, Marvin. All right, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you all then. Bye.
Bye. It's just too bad. It's just too sad. You don't want me now. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com. Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.